So, as promised last week, here I am starting this new season with one industry at a time and then work our way forward with as many different areas of law as we can around that industry. Sounds interesting? Let's hope it does. Hello, dear friends. My name is Amol, and this is Lex Prudence Podcast, where we try and simplify law and understand various legal issues from my perspective. And then engage into discussions to mutually learn new ways of interpreting or applying the law in our practical lives. If you have not heard my previous episodes, which by the way are more than 2 years old, then please search Lex Prudence, which is LEX Lex, PRUDENCE Prudence on Spotify or Google Podcasts, and give it a try. I'm sure you will find new topics and subjects to discuss. So now that we have the introduction out of our way, let me start with this season's first industry that I have picked. An industry that I've been part of for last 6 years of my life, and an industry that I have seen evolve from struggles around gaining legal status to regulations to ban by selected states, to taxation, to data protection, IP, to even anti-money laundering related issues. This industry has seen it all in the short span of 5 to 6 years. Yes, you have guessed it right. It is the online gaming industry that I'm talking about. So without wasting much time, let us straight away get into the subject and engage in issues relating to online gaming, or the OG, as the industry insiders call it. So, how many of you understand OG? Assuming that I have a lawyer community listening to me, and quite a few of them are from traditional litigation background, let me start off with very basics of OG industry and start with what is online gaming? So, friends, online games are the games that are enabled on the internet by the operators, and that can be played by the users via any electronic device like a computer, mobile phone, AR/VR headsets, or any other such device connected over the internet. These games may be single player, multiplayer, or player to system kind of games. Now, the second question that comes to mind is, what are the different types of OG or online games? Let us discuss a few broad categories of OG and their subcategories that exist in India. And let me put a disclaimer here. I'm not going to go into details of all the types of online gaming. These are typically the broad categories in which you can segregate the online gaming industry. So let's look at the types of online gaming. Well, there are many forms of online games that are played over the internet-enabled devices in India. These games can primarily be divided into the following categories. The first category, and which is the most relevant in terms of the evolve the law is evolving around the subject, is real money games, or in short form, they are called as RMG. The games where the participating users pool in the money, and the said money is then divided in two parts. One is a platform fee, which directly goes to the operator, and the second part is a prize pool that gets created for distribution among the winners of the game at the end of the game. The most basic element of RMG or real money games is money in and money out. So RMG can further be divided in following subcategories, but the critical aspect here is pooling in of money, segregating it in two parts, platform fees and prize pool, and then the prize pool gets distributed among the winners at the end of the game basis the leaderboard or the table where you plot your winners of the game. So let's see what are the subcategories within the real money games. And the first category, typically when we talk about the online games, the first category that comes to any layman's mind is betting, casino, lottery, gambling, and those kind of terms come to your mind, right? So let's just delve into it. In India, gambling and betting is part of the state list. What is state list? Under the constitution, there are different lists: state list, central list, and a concurrent list. And the gambling and betting as a subject falls under the state list. What does that mean? The states have the powers to make laws on the subject of betting and gambling. Betting and gambling are typically games of chance where a user does not have any control over the outcome of the game, and the only interest for him or her is to stake the money. And why stake the money? That staking is in anticipation of winning when the outcome is arrived. Most of the states in India, obviously, through different versions of gambling acts, have prohibited the activity of betting and gambling within their territorial jurisdictions. While I shouldn't say betting and gambling, the laws are specific to gambling, and therefore most of the states within their territorial jurisdictions have banned the activities of gambling. There are certain exceptions to this rule, and there are certain exceptions in terms of states who have enacted certain different laws. Say, for example, Goa is a state where laws allow casinos, which are gambling houses. While obviously there is some regulatory framework around it, but for our basic understanding, Goa is one state which allows casinos, and therefore gambling is allowed in that state. The second set of states, which are two states, is Sikkim and Meghalaya. These two states have established a licensing regime and allow even games of chance which have due license from the state to operate from the state. So that's the second category. The third is Kerala, which is a state which has lottery legalized, but that's a state-operated lottery that has been legalized. All other games of chance are barred through a law. And then we have states like Karnataka and Maharashtra, which have betting in the form of horse racing being allowed. So Maharashtra has race course and Karnataka also has race course, and they allow betting on horses. And that's obviously categorized as a game of skill, but it's a form of a betting which has been allowed in these two states. It is important to note that in addition to Central Public Gambling Act, several states have promulgated their own gambling or gaming acts, and also several laws as well as judgments refer to the term gambling and betting interchangeably. And that's why at the beginning I said that while all the laws are gambling laws, the jurisprudence over it has developed over years in such a way that gambling and betting are the terms which are used interchangeably. There are no specific laws, mind you, which define or prohibit betting, and the area remains a gray area. Now, the other category is real money gaming, casual games. Now, I'm not sure how many of you have involved or indulged in playing casual games on your mobiles, but there are lots of platforms which offer these casual games for money. So you stake small amounts of money like 5 rupee, 10 rupee, and you play games like Fruit Chop, Roadrunner, Quiz, Trivia, these kind of small games. And then if you are a winner, you will be given some money at the end of the game. So these are real money gaming, casual games, and the entertainment is the prime intent behind these games. There are several platforms which have cropped up in last 3-4 years which offer casual games in an RMG environment. Ticket size typically ranges from 5 rupees to upwards of 100 rupees. It depends on what sort of game they are offering. A critical challenge, however, for these games remains to be how to stay on the right side of the games involving skill. So, in the sense, these games have a peculiar challenge ahead of them because they need to justify that they don't qualify to be gambling. Also, there is no jurisprudence that has been built over the casual games industry per se, and therefore the yardstick of mere skill, we'll discuss what that yardstick is in future episodes, but the yardstick of mere skill, how to apply that mere skill yardstick to casual games is still to be decided. The third category is fantasy sports, and this is one of the most popular categories of online games in India these days. Typically, after the launch of IPL in India, fantasy sports have gained substantial interest and substantial mind share from the sports fans across the country. Now, fantasy sports has seen exponential growth in India in the last 5 years or so. It also has seen the number of operators increasing from just one in around 2014-15 to about 300 in 19 and 20 and about 100 now in 23-24 after the GST related changes have been introduced. But yeah, 100-150 is still a substantial number of players operating within the industry. There are several large operators who are well-funded and have great unit economies which are operating in the fantasy sports space. And they have ability to host large pool size contests. The standard form of fantasy sports, which is one full match, full team size, mix of players from both sides, etc., there's quite a lot of jurisprudence that has developed around this subject. For those who don't understand what fantasy sports is, in a nutshell, it's a game where you play the role of a team manager and you select the team of your own, which is a virtual team that you create, from among the players of both the teams that are available for selection on that particular day. So, for example, if India and Pakistan are playing today in a match, right before the match starts, I have to create my own team of 11 players. That team has to be a mix of players from both teams. I can't select all India players or all Pakistan players. It has to be a mix of players who are potentially going to participate in that match. And then there are points criteria. What the real life match does is to provide the statistics to give me points on this team. And that's what, in a nutshell, fantasy sports is. So that's one of the most popular online game in India at this stage. Obviously, fantasy sports has had its own share of legal challenges in terms of fighting the battle for betting and gambling, or rather defending the battle of being termed as betting and gambling. They have come a long way. There have been several judgments which actually say that fantasy sports is not betting and gambling and is a legal business. They have their fair share of IP-related issues because they use a lot of player images, the player names and attributes and statistics and a lot of data. They have their fair share of IP-related challenges and personality rights-related challenges. Other than that, obviously, because it is hosted on an online mode, the data protection and all those issues which we'll discuss other episodes are there for the fantasy sports. The fourth category of RMG or real money gaming, and which is most popular, is card games. Within card games also, Rummy and Poker are the most popular and common card games which are available on real money gaming, online gaming platforms in India. While there are some other games like Teen Patti 2 are offered by some operators, but their legality is still to be tested. To my mind, those kind of games may fall foul to the gambling laws. The pool size in Rummy and Poker is believed to be much smaller than the fantasy sports industry. Not pool size per se, but the number of participants is much smaller because you actually play it with 4 or 8 players ka table. So it's smaller in size, but it's believed that the ticket size or average ticket size in Rummy and Poker is much higher than the fantasy sports. major legal issues with card games are with respect to, obviously, the perception of card games is such that people connect it with gambling. So they have been fighting the battle of gambling and betting again, just like fantasy sports, over quite a few number of years. This whole perception of card game and money being staked on a card game has also created perception issues within certain specific pockets of states. So states like Telangana, Andhra Pradesh have passed laws that prohibit games that involve stakes, and therefore it has impact not only on the card games but also on other games which involve stakes. The state of Tamil Nadu has passed a piece of legislation which actually is in the nature of regulation, but it creates a specific category of prohibited games and includes rummy and poker in that category. So Tamil Nadu also has kind of banned the operation of rummy and poker, online rummy and poker within the state. And then obviously there have been some issues that rummy and poker also faced in the states like Kerala, where the notification was issued under the existing law to ban these games. Obviously, it was fought before the High Court and the notification was set aside. But yeah, rummy and poker have had their fair share of challenges in various states. The second large category of online gaming is esports. Now, what is esports? Esports basically is the short form for electronic sports. It can be said to be the competitions using video games. So all those your PUBGs of the world fall within the category of esports. They can be multiplayer games or can be single player games, where a single player maybe is playing against either a bot or a computer. Among various online games, esports actually is, or rather it seems to be on a much better footing regulatorily, since it has already achieved recognition internationally. Esports was also made part of Asian Games and is on its way to become part of the Olympics also. And therefore, from a regulatory and legal standpoint, esports, which is again, just to remind you, is competitions using video games, has attained much better recognition than any other online games available in India. Now, despite the better recognition in international markets, esports in India, especially the ones which involve violence or the ones which are war games and shooting games and those kind of games, they have found some bit of opposition within the pockets of the government. And there have been instances when the government has banned several esports games, including the likes of PUBG. The obviously the reasons given were different at that point in time, but it has had its own set of challenges. The government of India has further made several attempts or statements where they have expressed their desire to restrict or prohibit or limit the spread of games that are based on violence. So while esports has received quite a lot of recognition globally, this whole piece of violence is something that's not finding favor with the Indian government at this point in time. And there are efforts being made to find a middle path. One of the middle paths that some of the companies have found is to base their games on Indian mythology or similar stories, and then try and bring down the level of violence substantially. Also, unlike RMG, esports do not involve pool creation, etc. While they may, but it's more like a competition where the teams and the players and a group of players participate, and at the end of the game there are winnings, and it's like tournaments more than anything else. So that's one key difference that it has from RMG. And obviously esports can also have IP and payments related issues, which we'll discuss at a later stage. The third large category is casual games, non-RMG. So all your Candy Crush and Ludo and those kind of games, which you just download simply from your Play Store or App Store and pay while downloading, and then you are free to play. Or then there are just certain in-game purchases that you make, but there's no pool getting created. You don't need to pay for entering any contest are the casual games, which are non-RMG casual games. And since obviously they don't require you to stake any money and there's no winning at the end of the day, they are safe from the point of view of betting and gambling laws also. The fourth large category, or rather an upcoming category of games, is Web3, NFT and crypto-based games. Now, this industry is still in its nascent stages in India and hasn't grown beyond a certain limit. The games either use blockchain technology to keep track of events, purchases, transactions, player records, etc., and or use NFT crypto as some form of currency within the game. So some of the games have also tried to merge e-commerce with gaming, and multiple combinations have been tried and tested. As of today, nobody has found much success in Web3 and NFT based gaming in India. Now, major issues that these platforms have faced in India is the fact that these are the games which are based on blockchain, and it makes a lot of sense for them to have cryptocurrency as a currency to be used within the game, because both of them are based on the blockchain technology and integration becomes much simpler if they are using the cryptocurrency. However, cryptocurrency in itself has not found favors with the Indian government, and there is no regulatory clarity in terms of cryptocurrencies. So a lot of platforms over a period of time have tried to create a game which is based on Web3 and blockchain technology, but is backed by fiat currency, and therefore the integration becomes difficult, and so far not too many games have actually seen success in India. So friends, we'll end our first episode of Lex Prudence Online Gaming Series at this stage, and we'll catch up again next week with this second episode, where we'll discuss various legal issues around the industry, starting from the legality issues. If you have any questions, please do let me know through your comments. You can also write to me at lexprudence2020@gmail.com. And I will definitely try and answer your queries as soon as possible. So catch up with you next Friday. Till then, take care. Namaskar.